Thank you so much for your prayers this week as we traveled to camp and with the youth group. And we had a great week in the Lord, and just enjoying what the camp experience has been like. You know, for many of you who went to camp as young folks, and encouragement from the Lord in so many ways. We attended a camp at Carson Springs Baptist Retreat Center in Tennessee in the mountains, and we were there from Monday to Friday, and we were excited to get to have this opportunity, excited for the fact that you guys helped us get there. So we wanted to first of all say thank you to all of you who helped with fundraisers. Some of you brought soups and then paid for your soup to eat your soup to raise funds for, and we understand that. I understand that that's a sacrifice for you and something that you do out of your great love for helping students get to camp. And so I just want to say thank you to that. But for those of you who helped us or let us help with Swamp John's fundraisers, thank you to all of you who help us do that to help raise funds. And for those of you who just said, hey, I want to help send a kid to camp this year and gave money in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we say a great big thank you to you as well. I wanted to take a few minutes just to talk about camp, but before I did, I wanted you to see this, just a few pictures from camp this year, and then Savannah, I think, is going to come, and Harper are going to come and talk to you a little bit about their experience and say a few things, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of encouragement from the Word from our camp experience, and that's the way things are going to go this morning. Then Stephen's going to come up after that. So and enjoy these pictures for a few minutes or for a minute or so, and then we will we'll talk. Okay, good deal. Let me narrate this for you then. All right, this is us at a ministry called Live It Ministries, which is in Seymour, Tennessee. We spent time there each day at camp. This shed is where I spent about 12 hours of my life this past week. There was this shed was bought by a ministry that usually helps out at Live It Ministries, and they have the right side of this shed was kind of, there's a wall in between the middle of it, and they had the right side. They were gone for the summer, so they brought all their materials out, and they let the Live It Ministries use the left side. Essentially, what we did was the first day, we moved everything that you can think of tool-wise from one side of the shed to the other side. And then the second day, we organized a little bit more, and then we started to build. The boys and I built a rack for shovels, rakes, scoops, all kinds of stuff like that. So the boys that I took can do some stuff. I mean, they had some skill that's obviously, they need some guidance. I made all the cuts for the wood and all that stuff, but then I let them make some measurements and mark everything off for me, and I tried to, cut twice and measure once kind of thing. But no, we did a great job. We didn't have to cut anything twice, and we built some things that they needed to help get their side of that shed organized a little better so that they can do ministry better. And so we spent time doing that. The girls, on the second day, weeded the flower bed there for that ministry, and they also did a lot of sorting, which you'll see in just a minute, in their thrift shop. So this place has a thrift store that helps fund the ministry, and they get donations from, and then they also have a coffee shop that they minister to people through. And their main goal is to minister to the elderly in their community. So they take folks who need a ride to the doctor. They help them get prescriptions. They help them in any way they can. And also this coffee shop is a place for them to have community with people that are lonely. So there's a placard in this coffee shop that says, I'd like to talk with somebody because I'm just lonely today. And you can pick this up as you go in. Sit this on your coffee shop table, and one of their staff will come and just have a conversation with you, which was a cool idea, I thought, because some people are just lonely, you know. And so they live out that the name of their ministry is literally Live It. And so these are folks who are on staff at a church who just felt the call to this ministry And so we spent time there. So if you can roll through, this is at the camp. We're just eating some good camp food, if you know. They did a great job feeding us best they could. There's a big group this week there. So we kind of overwhelmed them with people, but they did a great job feeding us. A picture of the worship that we participated in. I promise you this, the students in this ministry can sing. They may not sing all the time, but they can, and so we know that they began to worship. They were a little uncomfortable with the camp atmosphere at first. It was kind of like in your face. It was really, really energetic, so to speak, but they began to get comfortable with that and worship. It was fun to see them worship the Lord all week. So keep going. This was our leader and guide this week, Lainey. She's a junior at Boyce College in Louisville, which is attached to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's their undergrad college, and she helped lead us through the week as leading our small groups and things like that. A couple of our boys carrying a table. I'm sorry, that's some doors out the from one side to another. Keep on rolling. More of that. This is one of our men carrying it. He has a buckle fracture, so he was not really supposed to do too much. So he's showing off that, hey, I'm not holding this thing with my arm, because he was supposed to have it in a cast at the time, but he didn't do a very good job of keeping that on. But, yep, more moving stuff. There's Hannah and Harper. This is called Gaga Ball. It's a fun camp game, so we had fun doing that. This is us weeding, or the girls weeding that flower bed. And this was part of that shelf that we helped reorganize all their stuff there. More from the flower bed. This is the storage area. You can see how just a little bit of how much stuff they have to sort through. If you've ever been to a ministry like this, there's a lot of stuff to go through. There's So good deal. This is Debbie and the girls after sorting through stuff. And that's the picture of the shelf that we built in the very back there with the tools in it. It's level and plumb and square, by goodness, because I wasn't going to have it any other way. just sweeping up some floor there. This is a game. We did a fun little rally like we do at camp. It's called Cross Bowl. So they had to carry each other through this part of the relay race. We were a smaller group than some other groups, but I think we absolutely demolished this competition. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? We did a great job with this. This was cup stacking, just fun stuff, right? Camp stuff. All right, keep on going. That's Bradley and Hannah and Mackenzie and Savannah. Wheelbarrow race. How many of you want to do this nowadays? I did not participate in this, to be honest with you. I was like, you guys got it. I'm going to sit this one out. I could do it, but I'm going to be really sore after that one. So they were tired after this one. I guarantee you that. A three-legged race. And this was bottle. This was the one that we believe it or not, this is bottle flip. So you flip the bottle up and you try to head land on its end. 32 times we did that in like 2 minutes. I don't know how we did it, but it was Jackson Stringer. He was good at that. So I guess they spent a lot of time doing that. All right, this is worship. Girls, if y'all want to come on up, we'll get ready to go. This was our speaker for the week. He's from Jacksonville State, Jacksonville, Alabama. Ministered to the word to us very well, and that's our campfire. So I'll let these guys talk a little bit about their experience at camp real quick, and then I want to just give you a little bit of encouragement from the Word as well. So who's starting? Savannah's starting. Yay.
I'm just going to start off with saying thank you for all the prayers and for any donations that y'all made. One of my favorite memories that we had there was while we were serving, we all were coming up with names for each other. And we came up with a name for Ashton Wells, and that was the only name that stuck, and it was Dan. For no reason, it was just Dan. But another memory I had was when we were doing the Cross Bowl, we went to the last night, and all the green team, they were like painting their faces, and they had like flags and stuff, and they all thought that they were gonna win because they'd been winning the whole week. They were so cocky, and they all got their phones out to video because they thought they were gonna win, and they announced that it was the blue team, and they all immediately just put their phones down. It was so funny. Yeah, we were the blue team. Yeah, so something that stuck out to me was just something that it was a Bible study that I did by myself. It was Psalm 15. So I'm just going to read that. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps on an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
While we were at Crossings, we talked a lot about servant DNA, which is basically traits that people see in Christians who serve. And there are four components of servant DNA. They are living with integrity, pursuing peace, having a good attitude, and working hard. Living with integrity means to always do the right thing, even when it's hard or when no one's watching. Pursuing peace means trying to be nice to everyone or not saying some things that we might want to say. Working hard means to try to help out as much as you can, be willing to be the first one there and the last one to leave. Make an effort. The last component is to have a good attitude. You can have integrity, pursue peace, and work hard, but if you have a bad attitude about it, then it really doesn't matter. The purpose of serving is to willingly serve the Lord however you can. These are just some of the things that we learned this week, but I think they're good to remember and to live by. I also wanted to thank anyone who had any part in making this happen. It was a really great experience for all of us, and we had so much fun while we were there.
Try to use this from here. As Harper so eloquently told you guys about servant DNA, I wanted to kind of talk about that as well myself for a few minutes and give you some encouragement from Scripture as we all seek to be servants of the Lord. And so she said those four things, which are on the screen right now, servant DNA, which are to live with integrity, to work hard, to pursue peace, and have a good attitude. And so servant DNA comes from a DNA, first of all, that's been changed by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are not something that anybody's expected to do necessarily outside of faith in and trust in Jesus Christ first as your Lord and Savior, because we know that he who is in Christ is a new creation, right? And with that new creation, we get a new nature. And in that new nature, there's a new DNA that we can use to glorify God rather than trying to just simply glorify ourselves and make a name for ourselves. And so this servant DNA is something that we should all strive to be in our lives, but it also should apply to everyone in this room in terms of fathers as well, because these are traits of a father. A good father would have these qualities, that he would live with integrity, to work hard and pursue peace and have a good attitude. And so I wanted to give you some encouragement from a few passages of Scripture this morning. But first of all, living with integrity, we talked about the story of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and how that they lived with integrity in spite of the fact that they were told that they must bow to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, but they chose not to do that. And of course, Daniel as well, who was told not to pray to anybody, and he prayed to his God faithfully, and there was a conspiracy against him, and he was thrown in the lion's den and was unscathed and protected by God as he did that because of his ability to and desire to live with integrity. And this is has a great application for us in servanthood, that we need to be people of integrity as we serve the Lord, that we would understand that first and foremost, the example set before us was Christ Jesus, and nobody lived with greater integrity than him. And so he is our example, and he is our he is who we look to when we think about serving others and living with integrity. And the second thing was working hard. And so we turn, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we'll look at this passage of Scripture together. John 13, 1 through 5. When we think about work and working hard, we're talking about serving with energy, right? And serving with fervor, you know, and being zealous to serve our others. And nobody set the example better than Jesus in this passage. And verse chapter 13, verse 1 through 5 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Verse 2 says, "During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he'd come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him." And so what a great example our Lord and Savior showed to us, in that he just washed his disciples' feet. When they thought that they should be washing his, he said, "No, this is not the way. The way is that that I should serve you, that I should wash your feet." And we know, you've heard this probably preached a lot of times, but the feet of the disciples must have been awful. The stuff that they walked through on the paths or not, it was not asphalt, it was dirt, and it was dirt that was full of animals' waste and things like that, because they were the things that traveled on the roads. And so to wash someone's feet was not something that was a desirable thing to do. And yet our Lord and Savior said, "No, this is the example I'm setting before you, that I would wash your feet and so that you would wash others." Verse 12 says this: "When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." All right? And so we see that his example was that he expected the disciples to follow in his example, to work hard, to do the things that are hard. And servanthood and fatherhood is hard sometimes. And there are things that are that we have to do that are humbling. And there are things that are not things that we want to do all the time. But the servanthood attitude, that servant DNA placed in us from a changed life in Jesus Christ, allows us
and motivates us, because this is the example that's been set before us, that we would serve others in the same way. And so my admonition to you is, how are you serving the Lord? How are we working for His good and for His glory? Are you serving the way that you once did? You say, well, I'm a little older than I once was, and I just ain't capable of doing as much. But what are you doing? What are we doing for the Lord? Maybe we've got lots of excuses, right? I'm one of those people who has excuses. My time is limited. Yes, it is. Your time on this earth is limited, by the way. You won't get back today. How are you going to use it? I heard an example of, probably a worldly example, but it's a good example to help me remind me to use the day wisely. Hugh Freeze was speaking, and he said this to his players recently. He said, if I gave you $1 million today, no, he said, wait a minute, let me give you another example. What if I gave you $10 million today, would you take it? And of course, everybody says yes, right? But then he says, what about if I said you're not going to wake up tomorrow if you take it? Then would you take it? And of course, everybody says no. And he says, what you're saying is, the day that you're in is worth more than $10 million to you. So how are you using it? What a great reminder for us to use our time wisely and not make excuses for not serving others. How are we going to use today to serve the Lord? And we talked about in our small group things that we do that can be small acts in servanthood that may have great big impacts on people. And so that serving the Lord may not look like you're standing up here like I am right now, but it might mean that you're serving by picking up something in the hallway that needs to be picked up. Or it might mean that you're teaching a class. It might mean anything in between. But servanthood is something that we are called to do. So living with integrity and working hard. But I do want to go to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. So turn over there for me real fast. Matthew 11 and verse 28. And just remind you of this. As we work unto the Lord, verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All right? I'm going to give you rest. Take upon my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so serving the Lord is something that comes from our servant DNA, but this is not something that is always burdensome, because we know that we're not working like the Pharisees were. We're not working for justification to say, hey, I'm working so that I can enter into heaven because of my works, which is what they were doing. He was saying, come to me and understand that faith in me is what justifies you, and then your works come after that are just that you do the works because of what has happened inside of your heart, what's happened inside your life. Because of a changed life, servanthood happens, but there's rest in that as well, because we don't have to work for justification. We're working as a result of justification, okay? So my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we work, remind yourselves of why you do it. Remind yourself of the goodness of the Lord so that your work is not burdensome but light. The last two things were pursuing peace and having a good attitude, and we talked about Joseph's story. Many of you know Joseph's story in Genesis, where he is the firstborn of Rachel, Jacob's prized wife, and he, the firstborn of her, and Jacob loves Joseph. He loves him, and he gives him a coat, and Joseph, wise or unwise, tells his brother about this dream that he has, that everybody else is going to bow down to him one day. And you can imagine the older brothers are like, nah, man, that's not cool that you would tell us that, right? I don't like that at all. And so they conspire against him, and they were going to kill him. But the oldest brother, Reuben, says, let's don't do that. Let's put him in this pit. And then they put him in a pit, and they sold him to these traders that were going to Egypt. So he ends up in Egypt. His dad thinks he's dead. And so he ends up in Egypt. He becomes Potiphar's, like, first-hand man. And then he's accused falsely of trying to make an advance on Potiphar's wife, thrown into jail. After he's in jail, he sits in there for 13 some odd years. He interprets a dream for these three guys, and one of them actually survives, and he says, I'll remember you when I go back to Pharaoh, and he doesn't remember him. He stays in jail some more, and then eventually Pharaoh has a dream he can't understand, can't interpret, and what happens? He calls on Joseph. Joseph interprets the dream for him, tells him about a famine that's coming to the region, and so then he ends up coming out of prison, becoming Pharaoh's right-hand man, and then his brothers come back, right? His brothers come back because there's a famine in the land, and they're trying to survive. So all because of the covenant that God made with Abraham to make him a great nation, Joseph goes through all these things. And we can go through all these things in our lives and we become bitter about them sometimes. But we must pursue peace through these things, because he could have reacted in a way that would actually been bitter toward his brothers, but he chose to pursue peace when being reunited with the people that betrayed him. So he pursued peace in that. And when he did, God was glorified because they saved the nation of Israel, and God used his situation, although it was unfavorable for him, he used it to save the nation of Israel. So we see pursuing peace and having a good attitude are just part of our servant DNA. And he could have been bitter, but he didn't. Philippians chapter 2, let's look at this verse. We should have this mind in us to not be bitter, to pursue peace, and to choose a good attitude. He says, chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What a great example our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ set for us in pursuing peace and having a good attitude to say, I'm going to lay down my throne in heaven for a moment. I'm going to come to earth and be obedient to the point of death, to be humbled, be born in the likeness of men, emptied himself. Those are great examples of servanthood in our life. So in turn, this servant DNA displayed in a life that's been changed by the gospel creates in us, we said, a ripple effect. So when I serve others, it affects others, and we never know where that's gonna help others, right? It could be that I serve others, and this person becomes a believer because of the example, or they ask me a question about why I served them, or why I did something. And that person becomes a believer, and then their whole family possibly believes because of that. We don't know. We're just called to serve. And then lastly, Colossians chapter 3, which is where we've been studying through. So turn over there just a couple pages to chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Just a reminder, guys, that we've been bought with a price. What was that price? Christ's blood. And therefore, we are no longer slaves to sin and unrighteousness, but we're slaves to righteousness. And because we're slaves to righteousness, we are bondservants to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm a slave for Christ. And so this example is a great example for us as we think about Colossians and its application in our lives. When Stephen was talking about bondservants last week, verse 23 and 24 say this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord, he says, from the Lord, you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving who? The Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this servant DNA should be something, as fellow bondservants in Christ, that we should be pursuing, whether we're on mission in the mountains of Tennessee or whether we're serving here at First Baptist Church Fallville. Let us be folks who are servants and have that servant DNA displayed in our lives. If you're a father this morning, this is the same admonition for you to serve others. Serve others in your family, right? By living with integrity, to work hard, pursue peace, and have a good attitude. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for supporting us and going to camp this year. I appreciate it so much. And then I think Stephen's going to come at this time.
hey, we're so thankful for Kenny and Debbie, and we're thankful, and we're praying for you guys. We're glad you had a wonderful trip. Thankful for our church, who understands the need to love and support you guys and pray for you. And I was good to hear from you guys, Harper, Savannah. I got to hear from Savannah and the stories and just the fun time they had, and just it encourages me to see you guys encourage our church. I'm not going to start a sermon right now. I know y'all just relax. Everybody just relax. I'm not going to start my 45-minute sermon. No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to tell you also, just as you guys have encouraged us, I want to take about 5 minutes and just tell you, Charlie and I got a chance to go to the Gridiron Conference this weekend, and Brother Milan had some extra tickets, and people weren't able to go, and so Charlie and I, my little buddy Will right here, went with us. And just in the area of thinking about our fathers and our men, I was greatly challenged and encouraged, and I just want to take a minute to say the first guy we heard from was Dr. Robert Jeffers. I think he's from First Baptist Church, Dallas, and he went to the passage Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and actually talked about salt, you know, and how salt was such a valuable commodity in the Roman times, in the times of Palestine. They would even pay their soldiers and workers in salt. The Latin word for money is sal, which is closely related to salt. And it talked about how we are to be salt of the earth and how we are to be a preservative, how we're to be seasoned with flavor. And he really challenged fathers to hold back evil and to guard the truth of God's word and to just be men of, like we talked about, men of integrity and lead well. I wish we had some time this morning. I would love to hear from some of you men about how, as the Lord saved you, how you took up the mantle of leadership in your home, and how you begin to see how that was a calling that God had given you, your first calling after following the Lord and loving Him with all your heart in the Great Commission, but leading your family, you know, sharing the faith with your family, passing it down to your children, perpetuating the faith by teaching and training your kids well. I look forward to hearing from some of you guys. I've questioned some of you about your father and about just your leadership as a father. And then the second guy we heard from, you might know him, Dr. David Jeremiah, loved hearing from him. His 4 points were topical. They were stay holy, stay healthy, stay humble, and stay hungry. And at the end, and he kind of messed it up, he kind of reminded me of myself, I mess things up sometimes, even Dr. Jeremiah, wonderful, wonderful message, but he had motions for these, and he got confused there at the end, but he got them right at first, and they stuck. And it's good when you preach and you can give alliteration or give something that sticks. He said, we're going to talk about, stay holy. And stay holy, he said, put your hand over your heart. And he talked about what it means to be holy, for I'm holy, resting in the righteousness of Christ. We've been talking about Colossians 3. Your life is now hidden with God in Christ. And how we are to, if you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. So he said, be holy. And the second thing he said, be healthy. And he pointed to his muscle, he raised his muscle, and he pointed to that. And guys, I want to tell y'all, Boone, he said, be healthy. This is something we don't understand the importance of sometimes. Matter of fact, a lot of Southern Baptist preachers, one guy introduced himself as Southern, how did he say it? Oh man, I'm gonna mess it up right here. Southern Fried Baptist is what he said. There's a bunch of Southern Fried Baptists. We associate Baptist preachers with fried chicken and all this stuff, and a lot of them are real big and overweight. Well, he said that one of the things we have is a stewardship. Our body, we've been bought with a price, and he said, we're to stay healthy. He said, you need to be a gym. You need to be working out. That's important. He said, I know it says it profits little, but then he took the places like your body's a temple. And then he even made the case of Romans 12, 1, where it says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. And I thought, man, after Paul's just talked all this doctrine from Romans 1 through 11, then he says, present your bodies. Now, he made the case that bodies was like your physical bodies. I would have to do a little more study on that. And who am I to rebuke Dr. David Jeremiah? But the next verse, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So I do think the body also has a lot to do with your body, soul, and spirit and mind. But I like what he was saying there, and he made the case all throughout Scripture, is that your body is a temple. God's given it to you. You can't do what you're called to do if you feel bad, or if you're overweight, or if you're just high blood pressure, or if you're not able to do ministry. So I think that was a pretty good point, is that we ought to take care of the bodies that God gives us. We don't hear about that enough, and I'm not fixed to preach a message on that, but that was a good challenge. Fathers, feel good. I see Robert shaking his head back there. That's an amen right there. If you don't feel good, he says, as your spirit's being renewed day by day, if your body's being strengthened, you maximize your ministry. When you're healthy spiritually and you're healthy physically and you're doing ministry most productive, makes a lot of sense to me. All right, so, hey, work hard. Stay in shape. Robert said he'll take you running on the next marathon with him. He'll take you running with him. All right? Stay healthy. Stay holy. Stay healthy. Stay humble. All right? Brother Kenny just read Philippians 2:5, that Jesus was a humble servant. Talking about servant DNA. Humble means, you know, pride goes before, haughty spirit goes before fall, and pride goes before destruction. All right, he talked about how Dr. Howard Hendricks, the great seminary professor at, I guess, at Southwest out in Dallas-Fort Worth, he said he did a study of all the falls. Of every time he hears one of his students that fell from ministry or just made a bad decision or wrecked his home or family or his ministry, he writes their name down. And he said he goes back and looks at what maybe all these men have in common that made these that had these falls. And he said every one of these except one. I like how he said there's always an exception, right? He said all of these men that he sees that kind of have these moral failures, every one of them were haughty, were prideful, were arrogant. All right? A lot of us don't really like to be around haughty, prideful, arrogant people, right? And so it's in my sermon next week, we're going to talk about private prayer and personal witness. And one of the things I'm going to challenge you guys in is that no, I'm not about to preach my sermon, Anna. I hear you over there. Settle down. I'm not. But I am going to give you where I'm going next week. It talks about how we're to redeem the time. We're to make the most of every opportunity. And our speech is to be seasoned with salt. Right? Meaning that we're to really be humble and gracious in how we talk to outsiders. Matter of fact, it says redeem the time, make every opportunity. Take every opportunity to be gracious in how you deal with outsiders. And that has to do with unbelievers. You know, they should see grace and salt and love and care toward them. If you're arrogant and prideful, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to have any chance to witness or love someone or shepherd them or lead them well. Okay? So stay holy, stay healthy, stay humble. And then lastly, he said stay hungry. And I don't even remember where he went with this. I guess we're kind of like y'all. After about 40, 50 minutes, our minds start to turn off. So I don't remember the verse he used for that. But I think to stay hungry would be keep fueling the fire. Keep fanning the flame. Keep walking closely with the Lord. Pray that God would give you great fervor and tenacity and humility. And that keep reading good books. Keep studying the scriptures. Stay hungry. So the motions were stay holy. Y'all put your hand over your heart. Stay holy. Stay healthy. All right? Stay humble. And stay hungry. Y'all got that? Now, poor Dr. David Jeremiah, after he did it the first time, he said, let's go over it again. And he got so confused, he finally said, and he just walked off the stage. But they stuck. They stuck with me, and they may be stuck for you. But such a good conversation. Rick Burgess closed it out, and man, I'm telling you, he really, really challenged us and gave a gospel presentation. He challenged men in the areas of just making sure you're not playing games and that you are plugged in to Christ, that you have given your heart to Christ, you're resting on the finished work of Jesus and His atoning work, dying on the cross, and you've accepted Him by faith and trusted Him. And then he challenged men. You know, they do man church, and so he's big, and they've written a lot of curriculum and discipleship. And just trying to train young men and build young men up. And he said, some of the women say, well, all the men are doing this. What are you going to do for me? And he said, the best thing, he said, and one lady looked at that other lady and said, he's doing this for us. Because some of you wives are tired of your men not leading well and not being out front and leading their homes and their families. And so the challenge this morning, and fathers, I told you guys, I love you. If you didn't get a donut beforehand, I'm sorry. There were some donuts. We're thankful for Jessica and some of the children that got the donuts and gave them out. But I want to tell you, the best thing we can do, the best thing you can do as a man in loving the Lord is leading your family well. And guys, some of your wives have been patient way too long. They've been very patient with you. And we just had a big thing in the Southern Baptist Church and about not ordaining women. And praise the Lord. And I know we're trying to stand on the truth of Scripture. But I want to tell you something. A lot of ladies are having to lead their homes. It's not they're trying to usurp authority. It's not that they're trying to take over as head of the home. It's just that the man won't do it. The ladies have to do it because the men are being lousy. So men, I told you I wasn't going to beat up on you. This is a challenge. This is an encouragement. This is an exhortation. Lead well as the Lord leads you as your spiritual father. You be a father and be a good man to your children. Remember the video, a provider? God provided for us. Love your children, provide for them. Be there with them. Sometimes my boy, I'm telling you, we got a little girl on the way, and I think we were all kind of hoping it was a boy. And I love my little girls, and I'm so thankful for a little girl. But my little boy, he needs him a twin brother. He needs him a little brother. I'm telling you, daddy, 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 can we go play golf? Daddy, can we go fishing? Daddy, can we do that? You know what I'm talking about here. He's high maintenance. Now, some of these little girls get high maintenance. My little boy, he's high maintenance. Right? He wants to know we're there. He wants to know, daddy, where are you going to be? Son, I'm over at the church. Okay, daddy, okay. All right, I'm going to be over at the church. All right, your children need you. They just want you to be there. Be there with them. Take them on a ride with you. Take them on a walk. Just to answer his questions. Tell him about your crazy journey that you've been on and how the Lord changed you and is still changing you and been gracious with you. All right, I love you guys. Thank you. That was kind of it. Brother Kenny, thank you for sharing the youth. We love you guys. We're glad you made it back. I will say Brother Ken made it back Friday, so we're glad Brother Ken had a safe journey back. I'm gonna call some of our children up. Will, you and Boone look like y'all are good candidates for this. If you're a father with us, would you stand up? If you're a father with us, would you stand up? We're gonna close in prayer. We've got just a little gift. Vaughn and Rita and others have got some little bookmarks. Will and Boone, come on, come on. All right, if you're a father, stand up. All right, now look, we got enough for everybody, Boone. These are pens and these are bookmarks. Miss Pat's gonna maybe play it. I'm just kidding. She's got the other piano still. Well, y'all just we're gonna have a little time of singing, or just so we're gonna close out in a song, Brother Vaughn. Maybe y'all come and just lead us in a song. Men, stay seated, stay standing. I mean, sorry, stay standing. Ladies, y'all can sing from sitting down, and we're gonna sing a song. And these guys are gonna give a little gift to our fathers. All right, Will. All right, y'all just go out and make sure you don't leave anybody out. All right? What are we singing, Brother Vaughn?
Living for Jesus.
Living for Jesus.